The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Oh, what noble visionary thought up April Fool's Day.
Like Halloween and Christmas, April Fool's Day traces its origins to pagan ritual.
God bless those pagans.
Welcome, everyone, to the Press Coverage Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Laurie, and alongside me, I have the lovely co-host, Jess Navarez, and we have a fun planned episode for you guys today. Happy Easter, and the holidays, they just keep on rolling because it is April Fool's as we're recording this today. Jess, I don't know about you. I think the biggest thing for everybody to remember is that when you're scrolling on Twitter, when you're looking on all these sites for information, it always does you justice and does you well to check twice and tweet once. That's what I put out today. It's like a lot of people were getting got with a lot of other stuff that was floating around there today. How important is it with the vetting process, especially on a day like today?
Oh my gosh. Can we please all come together and collectively agree that April Fool's Day is no longer a thing? Can we please do it? Like, I'm sick of this year in and year out that we have to do this on social media every year, because what's crazy is that so many people, like you said, will scroll through social media, they'll see something, and then they'll believe it. And then, like, in 6 months, you're still going to hear people being like, oh, well, they did this back in April. I'm like, that was literally not real. So it does more damage than good, especially, I feel like, for Cowboys fans right now who are on edge and kind of don't know what to expect. So I understand it. But also, as a whole, let's just agree to stop collectively doing April Fool's Day. I think it's so dumb and I hate it. I tweeted my disdain for it earlier today as well.
Well, when you're a kid and your dad comes in the room and says, oh, it's 2 hours past your school bus pickup time, like you're late for school. Oh, wait, no, sorry, April Fool's. That's innocent. But when you're in the sports journalism world and you put breaking news, you know, Dak Prescott gets traded for a, you know, first round pick or two firsts, you know, the Cowboys officially reset the clock. That's not funny. You know, that gets a lot of people up in arms, and it's not saying somebody did that, but I'm just saying, like, the power and the power of the internet is it is a vengeful tool sometimes, and people just really on a day like today think it's humorous. But I don't know. I think you can be innocent with it, but we're gonna have a little bit of fun around the April Fool's theme. But before that,
yes,
be sure to follow everything happening on the bloggingtheboys.com side of things and on the Blogging the Boys podcast network. Hit that like button and leave us a review, subscribe, and follow all of us and the happenings on Twitter. So, like I said, teasing it for today, we're going to be doing some sort of April Fool's themed game. And Jess doesn't know exactly what we're doing. That's sort of my little April Fool's prank in spirit of the holiday. Have to just make it a little bit exciting for all of us here. But we're going to actually talk about some statements that might be foolish with regards to the Cowboys. We'll talk about, I have four statements prepared and I'm going to get Jess's reaction about them. We'll talk about it a little bit. And while many fans believe that the Cowboys' approach to free agency has been foolish, we're not going to exactly focus on that. So I'm going to start.
I see statement. What you did there. That was good.
So statement number one, we have, when the Cowboys inevitably play the Giants on week one to start the season on Sunday Night Football, Ezekiel Elliott will be the running back to take the first carry of the 2024 season. Is that a foolish statement or not?
If you were talking about any other team in the NFL, I would say it is foolish, but because you're specifically talking about the Cowboys, I don't think it's out of reach. Here's the thing. I don't think that it's a horrible idea to bring Zeke back. It's not that I'm for it, but at this point, knowing how the Cowboys operate, knowing how they are with familiarity, he already has $6 million against the cap. You would need to pay him a little bit more. So look, you're technically already paying him. Why not? Right? Why not do it? You know what he can do. Him and Dak have that connection. Do I think he could come in and be running back one? I don't, because the draft has yet to happen. But I don't think it's foolish to say that he could be there. As for the first snap, that I don't know, Brandon. You got me with that one, because we just don't know yet, right? I mean, you know what? For all we know, they decide that Deuce Vaughn could take the first snap, or Hunter Lipke. I mean, there's options already. We have yet to see what the draft produces as far as the running back room. So I'm going to say to be determined, but in the meantime, I'm going to say it's not foolish to expect that you could see an Ezekiel Elliott on game day. Inevitably, like you said, week one, when it's probably against the Giants, as we've seen in years and years past.
I'll say that if he is back, I could see it almost be like a ceremonious thing, you know, like, oh, Zeke returns, and then he gets a carry for 4 yards and the whole crowd is just going, Zeke, you know, doing the feed me thing. And all that. Like, I could see that being the scenario. And honestly, like, this isn't out of the question, like you mentioned, because this was reported originally by Michael Gelkin last week, and he mentioned Ezekiel Elliott and Dalvin Cook as two potentials. And then this weekend, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN doubled down on it and said that sources that he has said that it's a possibility and that there's mutual interest there too. So again, like, this isn't something that it's a hypothetical and we're just pulling it out of thin air. Like, there's some actual sort of, you know, waves and sort of feelers out there that this could be a possibility. And I think, like you mentioned, it is TBD, because I really do think it depends on what happens in the draft. Like, if the Cowboys go through, they need to address offensive line. They need to address a wide receiver position. Maybe they get somebody on defense, because Mike Zimmer needs somebody to work with this year on defense. Maybe running back just doesn't line up for them. Well, you can't just go in, I think, with next year with Rico Dowdle and Deuce Vaughn and Hunter Lipke. Like, you need other guys. And I think if Elliott's out there after the draft, I don't think him or Dalvin Cook will sign beforehand. Now you're kind of getting to that point where these vets will just kind of sit and say, okay, let's see where the cards fall in the draft, and then we'll kind of find our landing spot. I mean, look at Zeke last year. He didn't sign until as he got closer to training camp for the Patriots anyway, or into minicamp. So it took him a little while to find a home too. But yeah, I just think that if he is back on the team for 2024, I could see him getting the carry even over someone like a Rico Dowdle who just re-signed, or a rookie. Because I think if they draft somebody like Jonathan Brooks in the second round, he's coming off of an ACL injury. He won't be ready probably for the first month this season if they're trying to kind of ramp him up a little bit in training camp. And with Rico, I just think you can't have Ezekiel Elliott on the bench for the first snap of the game if he's coming back. To me, like I said, it's more of a ceremonious thing. And I just think if Jerry Jones had Zeke back in the building with the number 15 jersey, all that stuff lining up, there is no way he won't be getting the first carry, even if it's for 2 yards or not.
However, would he get the number 15? Because if they don't re-sign Stephon Gilmore, 21 would be available again.
That is true. Yeah, that's a very valid point. And, you know, I know Trey Lance has 15 already. So I don't know. I think either way, I mean, 15 would be cool, because then you figure, you know, the jersey sales would be through the roof. But that remains to be determined. Going to statement number two. This one's a little more interesting, and I think it's not as foolish as the first one. 2024 will be the last season in Dallas for Zach Martin and DeMarcus Lawrence. Foolish or not?
Ouch. Ouch. You're really going for the digs today. Oh my gosh. I don't think that's foolish at all. I wasn't laughing. I was laughing after the fact, because D-Law had put out a tweet and a post on Instagram just kind of thanking Layton. And the way he had worded it at first, it looked like he was retiring. So everybody was up in arms panicking when this tweet came out. And everyone was like, whoa, whoa, you just gave us a heart attack. And I kind of laughed and I was like, oh, no, wait, though, because that would make sense that that's not too far off. And I think with guys like D-Law and Zach Martin, especially with the generation like you and I, Brandon, you forget how up in age these guys are getting and how much wear and tear is on their bodies, because I still see them as the young guys that they were when they first came on the team, right? But no, I don't think it's foolish at all. And especially, you already know the holdout that Zach Martin had last training camp. So, you know, when his contract comes to an end and all of that kind of needs to be rehashed, it's interesting to think if he still wants to go beyond that and if he would be willing to go somewhere else, pull a Tyron Smith, which I hate. We're not even going to discuss that. I don't know why I brought that up. I'm still bitter. But, you know, I don't think it's foolish at all. I think, you know, it's also going to start taking a toll on these older guys when you realize you spent the last 10 plus years of your career doing the same thing over and over again and not actually making it through the threshold that you wanted to 10 years ago or 10 plus years ago at this point. So I don't think it's foolish. I think at some point you call it a career because of your body, but you also call it a career either because you want to be a Cowboy for life or because you understand that it's just not going to happen in Dallas if it doesn't get any further past the divisional round in 2024.
And I look at, too, for Zach Martin, he reworked his contract ahead of free agency this year, which freed up around $13 million in cap space. And this was from the article that Todd Archer of ESPN put out. He said the Dallas Cowboys have reworked the contract for all-pro right guard Zach Martin to open up salary cap space this year and potentially allow them to spread a cap hit over the 2025 and 2026 seasons. Should 2024 be his final year with the organization, according to multiple sources? So he wasn't the only one that kind of mentioned that. And I remember as soon as I read that, when they reworked his contract, I said, ooh, that sounds more like Zach Martin and the Cowboys might not see eye to eye moving forward. Because, I mean, we saw a bunch of guards get paid this offseason in free agency, and the market for guards is going exponentially higher than what I think a lot of people expected. And when you have somebody like Zach Martin next year at the end of his contract say, well, you know, maybe it's not in the right cards for the Cowboys because they're going to be cap stricken next year. Maybe I can get more money the year after with another team, for even if it's a 2-year deal, might be fully guaranteed, whatever it may be. I thought the wording is very particular there, where it says be his final year with the organization. It wasn't with the NFL or in the NFL. So like you mentioned, with Tyron Smith hitting free agency, he might see whatever negotiations happened last year as sort of like the last hurrah for him in Dallas. And if he feels like he can get through this year healthy, almost like a Tyron Smith year last year, and say, you know what, I could do this for another 3 years, I don't think that that's going to be in Dallas. And I know a lot of fans would be really upset with that. I think if they had to lose either Zach Martin or DeMarcus Lawrence, I think fans would be more upset about Zach Martin. But even with D-Law, it's like, this is a guy, like you mentioned, that's a generational player, sort of like one of the last staples of what the Cowboys of older yesteryear were. And then you're really turning the page after Tyron Smith moves on. You don't know what will happen with Dak Prescott. I mean, if the Cowboys lose Zach Martin, DeMarcus Lawrence, Dak Prescott, all in the same offseason, I thought this offseason was bad. And I'm just saying.
You're going to have people in a tizzy this post-April Fool's Day. Oh my gosh.
And that's why this is all April Fool's. This isn't, you know, real. It's a hypothetical prank that, you know, is being pulled on everybody. But I do think it's interesting. It's something to talk about.
The thing is, though, Brandon, is that it's not that far off that that could be a possibility. And that's crazy to wrap your mind around. To think that you could lose D-Law is one thing. Because, again, you and I have talked about before on the previous podcast that we did that, not the episode, previous podcast, you know, at the previous time, how underappreciated he is. So yes, it's a loss, but I don't think it's a loss that a lot of fans would actually feel right away until his presence isn't on the field. Zach Martin, obviously your offensive line is better with Zach Martin in it. Your locker room is better with Zach Martin in it. And even the younger guys around him, whether they're on the O-line or not, they're all better because of Zach Martin. But, and you're talking about Dak as well. It's not off to think that, yeah, if they don't get that contract extension done with him, then what? I mean, that is insane to think, and I can't even wrap my head around that, that could actually be a possibility. Wow.
And that's why I think this year is such a big year for someone like a Sam Williams. Like if they are going to be moving on from someone like a DeMarcus Lawrence, like you need somebody to step up in his absence and kind of take over that spot. Cause again, like even Micah Parsons is going to be coming up for a contract very soon. And where they're at with defensive end, they lost Dante Fowler. They lost Lawrence Armstrong. They could draft somebody, but with all the needs lining up with offensive line, maybe like I mentioned, wide receiver, center, like they need two positions to be addressed in the draft. And it's like, they might not be able to touch defensive end. And then who are you left with? You're left with the Sam Williams. You're left with a Viliami Fehoko who they drafted last year, but like you're banking on Sam Williams to really take a step forward this year. And if he doesn't, yeah, moving on for someone like a DeMarcus Lawrence hurts, I think, even more, because who do you have behind him? Like, that was the whole point, I think, when you drafted Sam Williams, when they drafted him, is like he's sort of the heir apparent for a D-Law. He hasn't really taken that big of a step. And now, mind you, he hasn't had the snaps, I think, to really kind of step into that role. I think this year you're going to really see it'll be make or break for him. And you just hope also, too, the off-field issues kind of rally themselves around and kind of, you know, don't happen as much anymore. You know, we saw what happened with the car accident when that happened a few years back. And so you just hope that things get a little bit better, especially even too with penalties that happen. And that's why I think it'll be even a bigger year for Sam Williams too.
Oh yeah. And I think the work that he was doing with John Fossil on special teams also did a lot of help for him as far as his maturing on, you know, on the field as a player, but off the field as well, because we've heard from players just numerous times about how much Bones really impacts these guys. And I think Sam getting the opportunity to actually work with him and understand what a difference maker he can not only be on the defense, but in such a different way on special teams. And now with this new rule change, it could be really interesting what you see from Sam Williams. So, yeah, I agree. I think he's maturing a lot. And all we can do now is wait and see how much that maturing is going to pay off in the long run.
Also, him celebrating his 25th birthday the other day makes me feel still really old that, like, he could be in the NFL for three seasons and still only be 25.
And I'm older than you, so we don't need to talk about that, you know? Hey, somehow, you make me feel old all the time. So, yeah.
Well, you know, April Fool's. Age doesn't matter.
Definitely not. But happy late birthday to Sam Williams.
Exactly. Well, before we get to our final two statements, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, moving on to statement number three. This is another one. This is another doozy. The Cowboys have won 12 games in the regular season 3 years in a row. The over under right now total ahead of the season, depending on what you look at, sports books and all that, is around 10.5. I say the Cowboys go for a fourth straight 12 win season and win the division again for back-to-back seasons. The first time that's happened in since 2004. Foolish or not to believe that?
Man.
Don't be Eeyore.
I know. Look, it is very gloomy in Dallas. It's about to storm, so the weather would be fitting. But what I will say is if the Cowboys handled free agency differently and actually gave some kind of a pulse to fill the holes that are needed, at this point, I'm going to say it's foolish because from what we've seen, nothing has happened, right? So at this point in time, I can say it's bullish, but come July, come August, this team could look a lot different. And a lot of things can happen between now and then, especially with contract extensions, you know, because if you get Dak's contract done, that gives me a lot more faith that you can fill these holes. And, you know, you have a happy quarterback who just got his payday and, you know, he's not working on this 1 year deal and, all the drama that would come with that and the questions from media. I think if the pieces started to fall into place to make this a better team and to actively take it seriously, how many holes you now have on this roster, you were just talking about it. You have offensive line, you have running back, you have DE, you have nose tackle even because Jonathan Hankins is now gone. You have cornerback that you could say needs some buffering up there as well. There, linebacker, you just have so many needs to fill that at this moment, I'm going to say it's foolish, but I'm hoping to be proved wrong if that gives you any optimism and less Eeyore-ish vibes.
Yeah, I truly believe, like you said, as of right now, it is a foolish statement to believe that the Cowboys are going to be going for a fourth 12-win season just because they're not as good, if not better, of a team than they were when they lost in the playoff game against the Packers. Like, they got worse. They lost a bunch of players. And I was on a podcast with the Ireland NFL show earlier in the week, and they were talking, like, they asked, like, what is the optimism around the team this year? And with the free agency and all the moves that they made, I said it took them, you know, to steal Eric Kendricks away from the 49ers for them to actually make their first move of free agency. Like, if it wasn't for them going and pulling Eric Kendricks away from the 49ers, like, they wouldn't have made a move before the draft, which is unlike them. Like, when you look at how they've addressed free agency in the past, it's usually to plug a lot of these holes so it opens up the draft to take best player available. I think over the past, you know, four seasons under Mike McCarthy, it's been a minimum of about 7 or 9 free agency moves being made. I think this is the lowest one during his tenure. So when you look at the guys that they brought back, that's great. But the guys who they brought back, you know, you look at a Trent Sieg, you look at a CJ Goodwin. These are guys that they're just limited to special teams. CJ Goodwin isn't out there, you know, playing at a cornerback position. And while special teams are important, you could argue that those guys, you're looking for a little bit more. So the 12-win season thing, I think, is definitely foolish to believe right now. But sort of an adjacent statement off of this before we get to our final one is, if they win 12 games, you know, they make it to the playoffs, they lose, and let's say the divisional round, they don't make it to the NFC Championship game, Mike McCarthy will still be the head coach in 2025. So they win 12 games, they win a playoff game, but they don't make it to the championship round. Is that foolish to believe?
Oh, man. I'm going to say yes. I think, honestly,
is there too much pressure on him right now?
Well, it's because I was sitting in the press conference that I'm sure everybody watched, his first press conference kind of after the news came out, and Jerry released the statement saying that Mike McCarthy is still the head coach and he had his full support and all of that. Being in that press conference with Mike, I just got the feeling that it felt very ominous in the sense that he knew this is his final shot, you know, and the emotions were still raw and fresh from the playoff loss and the embarrassing playoff loss, right? It wasn't just a little stinger of, oh, we barely missed it. No. I mean, Mike specifically, I don't know if you guys remember, if you don't, go back and find it on YouTube, but he was very emotional during this press conference. And I fully believe that, yes, the front office does support him and will do what they need to do in order to do that this year. But I just think especially if it's another early playoff exit, Mike's done. And it's just a shame because the guys in the locker room love Mike McCarthy. They believe in him. They understand what his goal is as a coach. And he has such a new age way of coaching that maybe some of the older fans don't appreciate and understand. But you have to remember the younger guys that are on the team now. You don't have a team full of 35-year-olds that have a different mentality. You have a team full of 25-year-olds and 26-year-olds that, if not younger than that, that truly, truly appreciate Mike's approach to things. But at the end of the day, I think a lot more changes will come than just Mike McCarthy if they cannot get to, how do I say this? I guess I'll pose this question to you, Brandon. Do you think that getting past the divisional round would be enough? Do you think any playoff loss would result in Mike losing his job? Because at this point, it's just hard to say, because if they went to the NFC Championship and they lost in an embarrassing fashion like they did this last year to the Packers, and, you know, I'm not saying it would be the Packers or anything. I'm just saying if they got to that point in the playoffs, yes, you broke your threshold, but say you lost in an embarrassing fashion, I think it could be situational to say Mike's job would still be at risk at that point too.
Yeah, I thought about this, and when I was writing the question, or the statement rather, I thought to myself, well, Jerry Jones right now, and we were actually, again, talking about this. This sort of was prompted on the NFL, the Ireland NFL show. A great podcast. Go check it out. When I was bringing it up and talking about Mike McCarthy's future, I said, you also have to look at Jerry Jones and his age. I mean, Jerry Jones wants to win a Super Bowl now. Like, he unfortunately does not have a lot of time. Like, he is older in age, and, you know, it's like there's that inevitability where he will get to a point where he might not see a championship. I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm just saying, looking at it realistic, that's why Mike McCarthy was brought in the first place, going on from Jason Garrett. Like, they didn't bring in a young head coach like a Sean McVay or somebody to give maybe 5 years of a runway to kind of build their own team in their vision and then just really go for a championship after maybe year three, year four. Like, Mike McCarthy came in here and was expected to win playoff games in the championship year one. Unfortunately, with Dak Prescott's injury, that didn't happen, but then goes to the playoffs in 21, 22, 23, wins all these games and just never got over that hump. But when you look at other coaches that are out there besides Mike McCarthy, who have had double digit win seasons since 2021, Andy Reid is one. He's had 9 straight, which is crazy to me. But Kyle Shanahan has had 3 since 2021, and Sean McDermott in Buffalo. That's it. Like, I look through all the head coaches, and you have your John Harbaughs, who, you know, have had those long stretch seasons, but he only won 8 games in 2021. Mike Tomlin has had the longest streak of consecutive winning seasons, but not double-digit wins. So when I just look at, you know, where Mike McCarthy stacks up with the coaches in the NFL of just being a consistent winner to get you into the playoffs, there aren't many head coaches that are above Mike McCarthy. And when you look at Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McDermott, that's a pretty good company to be a part of. So I just look at, if you move on from Mike McCarthy, there aren't many other head coaches that are out there that give you a better shot to make it to the playoffs, to get to that Super Bowl run. I mean, Jerry always talks about you need to just get to the dance. And right now, Mike McCarthy's proven that he's one of the best coaches in the NFL just to get you there. Getting over the hump, I believe last year, like, the Cowboys were in the best position to make a deep playoff run. I personally think that Dan Quinn cost them the playoff game. We talked about it with the defensive alignment and all that, going to zone coverage more than man than they did in the regular season. I thought that just kind of jeopardized them. But because the players are expected to play the game, you have to execute. And it wasn't the offensive side of the ball that was kind of holding them hostage. So I just look at even the same conversation with Dak Prescott, like, who gives you the best chance to win right now in a Super Bowl window? Like, Dak is the guy. If you bring somebody else in through free agency, you're going to have to spend Kirk Cousins type money. They're going to have to learn a new system, maybe under a new head coach. And then you're kind of really in between a rock and a hard place where you don't have a supporting cast to surround them with because there's no money to spend. And then if you kind of reset the clock with someone like a Trey Lance or a young developmental quarterback, then you really are kind of saying, well, maybe we can catch lightning in a bottle, like a CJ Stroud, make a playoff push, but we're really not looking for a Super Bowl run until maybe year two, year three of that. So, like, to answer your question, I just think if he wins 12 games or another double-digit win season and kind of makes it to the playoffs, wins one game, and then maybe loses the individual round, I just don't know how that the Cowboys can rationalize moving on from Mike McCarthy, where the guys who are better than him are pretty locked up with their teams, maybe outside of a Sean McDermott. And even him coming into Dallas with all the stuff that came out about him during the season and the comments that were made a few years ago around 9/11, I just don't think that, like, him in the Dallas media, it would be too big of a spotlight for him, I think, outside of Buffalo, New York, something that he's not used to. And Bill Belichick, I don't even think, is in the question too. So it's a long way of saying, I just don't think that if he won 12 games again, 11 games again, they could rationalize moving on. At least in my mind, I couldn't rationalize that.
I was about to say, you know, everything you're saying is logical and it makes sense. And, you know, that's just how the facts are laid out, right?
Yeah.
However, we know how the Cowboys are and we know how this front office operates at point. And it's most of the time to make whatever message or statement that they want out there to be made. And so in this case, I think it's not necessarily what Mike McCarthy would accomplish, but he would become the example for the, and kind of the scapegoat for the losses, you know, in the playoffs for the last 4 years at this point. And I think if they decide not to extend Dak Prescott and he's running on a one-year deal, he would also be made the scapegoat. And it would do anything to, avoid responsibility for what the actual problems are. So I agree. I think logically it would make sense because Mike McCarthy has a winning record. He has shown that, you know, he can get you there. It's just the execution, like you had mentioned. But I think if they lose again, he could easily become the scapegoat for the front office to say, hey, we lost again. You're the common denominator. You're out of here. And all of us know, you know, us nearly 30-year-old fans, that we haven't seen a Super Bowl run that was legitimate since well before Mike McCarthy, right? So we know what the issues are, but in order for this to kind of keep going like we do with this toxic cycle that we have with the Cowboys, I just think Mike would become the scapegoat at that point. And maybe that's harsh of me to say, because this is all, you know, we're thinking very far ahead and fantasy at this point, but it's not far off because we know how the front office works and operates at this point.
Well, and again, they're all on 1 year deals. So it's not, like you said, it's not out of the realm of possibility because it's laid out exactly like that too, for somebody to kind of be the fall guy. And I just look at, you know, when did it become below expectations? I mean, when you look at 31 other teams in the NFL, maybe outside of the Patriots because of their sustained success, 49ers maybe as of recent, but like for the Cowboys, winning 12 games 3 years in a row becomes like the bar or like average. Anything below that is not meeting expectations, and you're tasked with meeting above. Like, you have to go above and beyond 12 wins. You have to get the number one seed. You have to win the Super Bowl. I mean, it when you kind of take a step back and just look at it from the other side of other fan bases. I mean, if you told the Detroit Lion fans, like, hey, you're going to win 12 games 3 years in a row, make the playoffs, consistently be in the hunt. You might not get over the hump and make it to the Super Bowl, but, you know, you'll win 3 out of the 4 years a playoff game. And, you know, you're at least in the conversation. I think a lot of fan bases would say, that's awesome. Sign me up. Give me my popcorn. I'll sit in front of the TV, enjoy it every year. But for like the Cowboys, that's just, it's not good enough. And to me, that is such a high bar and a high expectation to meet. Like, that's a lot of pressure to put on one head coach, one quarterback, one franchise. But that's just, I guess, how it is in Dallas. And I don't know, like, I took a step back last week and I kind of looked at it from that lens. I'm like, man, that's like, you have to score a 90% on every single test for the rest of your life. And I don't know, I was a B+, B- student in college, maybe like A+ every now and then, but like, I don't know. That's just a lot of pressure in my opinion.
You know, what's that saying? C's get degrees. Don't take my advice when it comes to that. I graduated, I made it, but there may have been some missed assignments, every now and then. But the point is you're right. The bar has to stay high, but who else can keep it there other than who's been doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out, especially, I think the first domino has always been the Dak Prescott extension. So especially if that does not pan out and it just doesn't happen, I think that's setting things up for kind of an inevitable, I don't want to say failure, because I still think they have a winning team with Dak Prescott, even for this year. And even with the holes that they do have, I think Mike and both Mikes now can create a winning culture and a winning team. But I just don't think, if Dak does not get that extension, I don't have a lot of faith that the morale is going to be very high across the star.
Hey, and don't let anyone tell you that C's in college or high school aren't cool, because championships and cool start with the letter C. So don't let anybody tell you that it's below average, because you will be the coolest person in school.
You know what? Look, if you get C's, I'm not judging you. If you get A's, I'm not judging you. But kids, if you're listening, please do your homework. Go to school, listen to your teachers, all the good stuff. You know, we're not here disencouraging that.
Exactly. So statement number four, this one, there's some reasoning for why I brought it up, and it's something that I thought about probably over the last few days. The Cowboys have three big extensions that they need to make before the start of next season. We've talked about it a lot on this podcast, on the Blogging the Boys podcast network. You have CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons. I believe that CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott will get done, but that unfortunately leaves Micah Parsons as the odd man out, and he will not be a member of the Dallas Cowboys after the 2025 season, when his fifth year option expires and they can't come to terms on an agreement and he goes to another team for the 2026 season. Foolish or not?
You know, it's really funny. It's not foolish because everyone thought Micah was joking. I'll never forget standing right there. And Micah talked about, you know, Dan hadn't left yet. They were still in the middle of the season. And somebody asked if Dan Quinn left, you know, kind of what would happen. He was like, oh, I'd follow DQ, or I'd follow Q. He calls him Q, wherever Q would go, you know, and he kind of laughed about it and joked. And at the time, everyone's like, ah, funny joke, haha. Are you joking? Was that a joke? Was it really funny? I think that the thing about Micah that I think a lot of people stereotype him with is that he's in it for the money. He wants big bucks. And yes, he wants to be compensated for what he's doing. But he has said so many times, it's not about the money for him. Like, he's so intelligent and so smart. If you really listen to all his press conferences and, or I guess his media huddles, and every time Micah talks, he makes it very clear that he has plans post football. And he's even talked about before, like, after a certain time, he doesn't want to play football anymore. And so that's not a knock on, you know, his passion or anything he's doing right now. He just has a plan. He's a man with a plan. And if that plan included following Dan Quinn and the opportunity came up and maybe Dan's still coaching at that point as a head coach, you can't tell me that would not be intriguing for him. So I don't think it's foolish to say. I think a lot of teams out there would fork out a lot of money for a Micah Parsons that we know now. But also, that's a long period of time until we know what Micah Parsons looks like between now and then. Who knows? Things could change. Things could get better. Things could get worse. You just never know. That's the nature of the sport with football. And so I'm going to say it's not foolish where Micah is right now, and especially because you know his loyalty to Dan Quinn. If Dan Quinn's still in Washington as a head coach or somewhere else, maybe, who knows what the future could hold. I don't think it's irrational to say he could want to follow DQ pretty much anywhere.
And we should have put a disclaimer out at first saying, like, listen, we love Micah. We want him to be a part of the Cowboys, you know, for as long as possible. And yeah. I think that's the main thing. But when you look, like you mentioned, the reality of the NFL, the reality of the business, like, I think a lot of Cowboys fans are kind of seeing the ugly side of football, you know, this offseason, where, you know, when you don't have a lot of draft capital, when you don't have a lot of money to spend, like, you have to let people go. Business decisions have to be made. And like I mentioned at the top, I mean, there could be a world within next year where the Cowboys don't have Zach Martin, Dak Prescott, DeMarcus Lawrence. I mean, those are three guys who are the leaders, the pillars, the captains of the locker room. And they might not even be here. Oh, and by the way, you might not have your head coach, defensive coordinator, you know, wide receiver. But this is what happens when you try and sign all these guys, the big contracts, the cap keeps going, but the number for the players keeps going up. The market keeps going up. They can't just say to Dak Prescott, hey, we're going to give you less than market value. Hey, Micah, hey, CeeDee, we're going to give you less than market value. Like, this is also the gift and the curse when a team drafts as well as the Cowboys do. Like, sometimes when everybody's due at the same time, you try and plan things out, it just all comes together at the wrong time. And it seems like for the Cowboys, within this year, next year, there's a lot of decisions that have to be made. And if you're setting the market for three guys, one as maybe the highest player on the offensive side, one as the highest player on the defensive side, and one as the highest wide receiver, that is a lot of money to shell out. And when you look at the Cowboys and where they're at, they love Dak Prescott. They love CeeDee. They love Micah. But when you're trying to reset the market for three guys at three different positions, that is a lot to ask of any franchise. And we're in a world now where quarterbacks are getting traded. You know, Russell Wilson is getting traded all over the place. Franchise guys are getting traded all over the place. And the reason why I brought this up is because Jory Epstein from Yahoo Sports brought this up on a podcast I saw with Matt Harmon on Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. She brought up, like, when you look at Micah Parsons just as the player, you know, if you're looking strictly at stats, like, he is a three-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro, Defensive Rookie of the Year. But, like, when you look at the playoffs, who is he as a player? And through the four games that he's played in the playoffs, 1-21, 2-22, 1-23, he has 18 tackles and one sack. And, you know, when she was bringing up this argument of, you know, does Micah Parsons get a contract after this? You know, she said it's a longer conversation for another day, but she's not too sure. And again, we all love Micah. We all love the player. But when you're looking at, when you're handing out this type of money for a player that might not be performing well in the biggest moments, is that really worth it? Because should he be held to the same standard that Dak Prescott is? I think so. Like, if fans are willing to say, well, Dak doesn't perform well in the playoffs, well, what about Micah? If he's supposed to be the Dak Prescott of the defense, are you willing to hand out generational, like, just record-setting money for somebody who hasn't performed that well? Again, like you said, all this stuff can change. I just think that when you start letting the years go by and there's not a championship to be won, this is when the reality of the NFL sets in and you have to start asking yourself the question, is this player worth it for this type of money? To have the franchise tied up between Trayvon Diggs, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons with all, you know, top three, top two, top one market setting contracts. I think that's, like I said, just a lot to ask.
Oh, definitely. No, definitely. And I think as far as Micah Parsons and what standard to hold him to, it's the standard that, yeah, he is the Dak Prescott of your defense. He's Micah Parsons. He has his own name, right? Like, he is Micah Parsons, and he holds himself to that standard. But I'm interested to see how much of an impact Mike Zimmer is going to come in and have on how much production he gets. Because I feel like maybe with Dan Quinn, because he was so close to him, he might have had too much of a say in what he was doing as compared to, like, having a coach telling you, hey, I think this is better because I'm seeing it this way. Just do this and this. Like, I think that's what Mike Zimmer is going to bring more than anything else is, yes, he's there to be a coach to the guys and a mentor and all of that. But I think sometimes you walk a very fine line when you're the uncle of the room and you're too much of a friend. Right. And I think Mike Zimmer has that hard shell that he's not going to have that, but the guys respect the heck out of him. So I'm interested to see how Micah's production is impacted, whether it be for better or worse, with Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, and I just think what's not foolish is the fact that this is an outstanding podcast and that we enjoy doing this every week. And you know what? This was a pretty down, depressing podcast. I think, like you said, sometimes we have to have this sort of therapy session between the two of us to talk this out. And I think it's something, like, these are questions that have to be asked, like, when you're kind of resetting the table for this season where everybody, like I said, is on a prove it year. That's across the board, guys who aren't set to get contracts until next year or this year. You know, I think it's just when you're in this spot, this is what happens. These are conversations that are had behind, you know, closed doors at the Star, you know, in NFL facilities all the time. So we're just bringing it up. Doesn't mean we believe it. This is why it's all April Fools. Ha ha ha. Like, yep. We don't believe any of this
LOL.
Stuff. you know, so it's like, but at the end of the day, just trying to have those conversations that must be had. Cause you know, if you don't hear them from us, you're going to hear them from somebody else. And we like to think we do it with a little bit more of a softer tone.
Yeah. And just being humans, you know, what a concept. That's so crazy.
Exactly. Well, that does it for today's episode. Again, happy April Fool's Day to all who celebrate and to all who don't. Good for you and to all who do. Well, you know, maybe not next year. Be sure to follow everything happening on, like I said, the .com side of things, on the Blogging the Boys podcast network. Hit that like button. Leave us a review. If you guys want to leave us a review, mention us by name. That would go a long way. We appreciate that. Hit the subscribe button and follow us on Twitter at Brandon is Right. That's WRITE and at Jess Navarro's _. We do have an exciting episode coming next week, so be on the lookout for that as well. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next week.